Tuesday morning, heading into the Bendigo Cup holiday tomorrow. Hidden History, Charles Fay joins us. Charles, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Let's look at the history of the Cup. I read a few things, and it seemed to be different views on what was considered the first Cup. Please explain.
Well, I've been looking through the newspapers, and I think the first Cup was held in 1869. So I found this report in the newspaper in March 1869, and it condemned Bendigo for, quote, and said, is it not monstrous that a town like ours should be without its race meeting? And apparently they did try then to put a cup on in 1869 in November. But the trouble was they only had three entries in the cup, Warrior, Praetor and Moonbeam.
Guaranteed a place if you were betting, man, then.
Yeah, but no third dividend.
OK.
Yeah. And apparently the trouble with the first sort of Bendigo Cup, and they called it the Bendigo Cup in those days, and then later became the Sandhurst Cup, was that you had the Melbourne Cup first of all in the spring season, then you had the Bendigo Cup, and then the Ballarat Cup. And it was decided by many sort of racehorse owners that they would withhold their horses from the Bendigo Cup and leave them for the Ballarat Cup.
Right.
So it was the third race of the season, I suppose. But by the 1870s, it settled into a fairly sort of standard sort of race. But you know, it had a bad start in 1871. It was a massively wet year, and the favourite from the race, Warrior, was scratched due to a sea of water. And that was a bit of a bad one. But by 1871, the race had become quite valuable. In 1871, it was a two-mile race.
Yeah.
And there was a £175 prize for the winner.
Wow, which would have been a good whack of dough back then, that's for sure. And, guess when you're thinking about with the Ballarat thing too, is that, you just think the time and the issues in terms of transporting the horses then, as opposed to today, obviously.
Yeah, I think one of the reasons, it was a two-day carnival in its early days, so and the newspapers report about bringing the horses up by train on the day before the race, and by the 1880s, the railways had become involved in the whole affair, and they had special trains that were put on to get people to the racetrack, and by 1882, they could expect a crowd of something like 3,000 people present at the racetrack.
Wow! I tell you,
that's more than this week.
I wonder with the trains involved, you'd need to know a little bit about punting for this one, but
okay.
Is that where rails bookmakers come from, you see? The bookmakers right down on the rails, yeah.
But what I have found in the early press is form guides go right back to the 1870s.
Oh, really?
So I think it was about 1874, the Bendigo Advertiser described each horse and its form and what it had done prior to the race.
Wow. So
the other interesting thing was bookmaking wasn't quite as organised as it was nowadays. And it was suggested in, I'm just going to find it, in 1882, that was the first time they had licensed bookmakers because apparently in former years after the race, quote, punters had to look for the welches.
Yeah, jeepers creepers. The old, I mean, Australian history, it wouldn't be the same without SP bookies and stuff, you know. So, yeah, interesting stuff. And, of course, it's transformed finally into a very important regional race in, not just the Victorian calendar, but the Australian calendar as well.
Yeah, it's amazing the way they get people from Melbourne. I mean, my brother, who's a great punter, always comes up to Bendigo. Not that he ever visits me, but...
Well, Yeah, make sure he visits you after he has a big win. You can at least put the put the tap on him.
I think, like most punters, he never has a big win. He just says he does.
That's very true. And on that wise note, we shall leave it there, Charles. Thank you for that. Will you have a bet on the cup yourself? Are you a punter or not?
Oh, I can't stand horse racing.
Really? All I know about...
My father was a punter, and the sound of the horse races sort of blighted my Saturday afternoons, all my youth.
Well, all I know about them is your feet at one end and, you know, what happens the other end. So that's it. I actually did have a quarter share in a standard bred once, a trotter whose name was Clary Clockstopper. And it's fair to say that Clary didn't get the clock going, let alone stop it. So that was my one foray into that world. Hey, Charles, thanks for that. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, catch you.
Charles Fay, Hidden History on the Wake Up Call.